Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Woo! Well, look, sometimes, listeners, you wake up, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, cricket is dying. Welcome to our first Monday Draft Doctors podcast for the year. I'm Steve Fizz. Your regular host, John Crockett, has actually been flown over to South Africa to take over a second drop for the test side. But Jesus, good to have footy back. And a massive welcome to the man who is no stranger to tampering with balls, the Statesman.
Yes, I've got to admit first up that I am a little bit scratchy, but it's only on one side. But I do have a little bit of... Didn't you get that gag? Anyway, we'll move on.
Scratchy.
Yeah, I'm feeling a little bit scratchy, but only on one side. Anyway.
Oh, man, cricket. Keeper regrets. Yeah, that's I can handle a little bit of cricket, but that's just too much. Right. It's over my head.
Fair enough. But I do have a bit of keeper regret this weekend. For the listener league keeper, I went long and hard thinking about who my 12 should be. And all pre-season, I've had one certain person sitting there. And come the JLT, my F3, I decided to keep instead of this player. The one I decided to keep was Kane Lambert because he kicked four goals. He averaged, I think, 85. He had a blinder end of the season. Things were going well. So I swapped them the day before I finalised who my keepers are. The one I removed, and the reason why I removed him is I thought I'd just get him at pick 12, seeing I won the premiership, which is quite normal. I always get the last pick of the draft. And I thought I'd just pick him up and you beauty tick there and he'll actually become my F1, F2. But no one else will really pick up on him. And that fine young gentleman's name is Blake Akers.
Whoops.
Yeah. So I thought I'd get him through. He actually went three picks before it come to me. And sure enough, and I've got him in every other format, every other league. I'm that hot on him that I have him even in salary cap, even though he is effectively a mid-pricer. And sure enough, he pumps out a 124 while Mr. Lambert lets me have a 47. And Sean Grigg, who ended up picking up instead of Blake Akers because he was gone, pumped out a big 59 from me. So the two players still didn't match up to his one score. So a bit of keeper regret. And sadly, my back line's gone to hell as well. Salem, they've moved into the midfield, which is generally a good thing for people scoring, but not his.
No.
And Ryan Burton as well, getting injured early, but he wasn't scoring that well. He was continuing his preseason form. But anyway, so not so good in my keeper. I thought I might be able to go back-to-back, even though I was pick 12 over the last 2 years. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's the case already.
Yeah, a lot of regrets there. I certainly regret being on the... not on the Charlie Kurnow bandwagon this year. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, of course, you can find us on the Twitterverse at The Draft Doctors, and we're on the Facebooks as well, although apparently that's a great place to have all your information hacks, so I don't know, we might have to get off that. And subscribe on SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and all the regular places. But on to the news, and there was a stack of injuries, of course, Statesman. Who would have seen some of these one coming? I mean, Matthew Cruiser. I mean, what are the chances? Bit of a groin complaint. We'll see what happens there.
Has he ever been injured in the last decade? Ever? I mean, he wouldn't have missed a game, would he?
Haven't heard much about it. He seems one of those real safe picks. But, yeah, groin complaint. So we'll see what happens there. If he's missing any time, well, they brought in Matt Lobe. And wouldn't his original club love to have him back at this point in time as well, ironically? But Casbolt did do a bit of rucking in the second half, so with his ruck forward status, he might be someone you look to grab. Matt Kennedy had a bit of an ankle knock, missed a lot of the game, so might be one for your keeper coaches to keep on the bench.
And I must admit, a great effort by Carlton. So Two really key players, one early in the game, one obviously a fair bit later, but to really take it up to Richmond when you were one short on midfield rotations for almost the whole game, and then your ruckman's gone. I was pretty impressed with them.
Yeah, no, I mean, 5 minutes into the game, I just went, what is going on here? Zach Merritt, probably one of the big ones, obviously affecting a lot of coaches, drafted him in top five in a lot of formats. I think he went in the second round in our league, but possible concussion, and reports are that that's sort of his second or third one over the last, 6 weeks. Yeah, third.
Three games.
So, I mean, that's real wheel-roaring signs. Generally, we've seen if players miss a week, it doesn't affect them over the season, but it's when they don't take a break. So we'll keep our eyes peeled on Zach Merritt. Richie Douglas has been offered the one game. Daniel Rich, man, ankle injury, not good. He did test it afterwards, but couldn't come good. So we'll see what happens. Those ankles can linger for six, can keep you out for 6 weeks. So we'll see what happens with Rich. It's probably not the big one anymore, but the big one, Paddy Ryder, the Achilles, looks like being out for a while. What do you do, Statesman?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Justin Westhoff, the most important player at Port Adelaide right now, he's been sort of pinch hitting. So it'll be interesting to see what happens if they take one of the youngsters. But I'll be on that waiver wire pretty quickly, as I was seeing I own Cruiser in a keeper league. Just making sure I recollected Matt Lobe, who I only got rid of the day before.
Yeah, it's amazing how players value, but Dougal Howard was setting records in defence with 20-something spoils, so I think they'd be remiss to move him. Mm. Could be time for Frampton comes alive, we never know. Ryan Burton, the ankle roll, iced up early, so we'll see what happens here. Burton redraft owners have got to be especially worried. They will have spent, around 8-9 pick on him.
Yep.
That's a problem. Big boy McAvoy did get iced up with a bit of, thigh soreness, but we'll see what happens there. Might put a doubt on whether he solo rucks.
I actually think it was just a corky, and they've got a 9-day break, so he should be fine.
Okay, beautiful. Libber, horrible, man, the ACL. I mean, you got a feel for the bloke. It's terrible. He just had a ripping preseason.
And so many people were hot on him. So actually would have been one that got picked a lot earlier than what he probably should have been, because he had a great JLT, good preseason, bit of hype. Geez, I better jump on him value. So he would have gone in the 9th and 10th round in a lot of leagues. And all of a sudden, 9 points, you're gone.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how it can just switch on a dime. Someone I might look to grab, Mitch Wallace, didn't get a game this week. You never know. But what have we learned this week, Statesman? For people who've been listening for a couple of years, we've moved away from the regular formats where we just recite scores. I think it's a good thing. And we're going to talk about the things we really noticed that can affect your draft team and the way you're attacking the season at hand.
So my things, I'm going to start off with something that you link through the news, and it's now got a name. It's called Monty's Curse. So Zach taken out two of the last three games. He's got to lift the curse. Please, Monty, lift that curse. Leave Zach alone. But part of that, and part of the reason for Monty talking about Zach, was the pressure he was going to get from opposition. Now, the interesting thing that came out of that game was Dyson Heppel looked the best I've seen Dyson Heppel in 4 years. 145 he scored in AFL Fantasy. And he now could be that running person that they go and look and tag, because he was everywhere. He was a link player. He was the deliverer, and he was the creator of them getting the win. So Dyson Heppel, I reckon, is now the tag target. So if Monty can lift the curse so he stops getting knocked out, Zach should be able to free and collect the footy after he obviously has a break.
Yeah, he was an interesting one, Heppel. I kept trying to find a reason to like him, and I just couldn't do it. But obviously you don't want the attention, but we know he's got the capabilities of being a top line mid. A guy who actually I really liked was Kyle Langford for the first, he was playing all right. So I don't know.
All right. So number two was the JLT hype slant fear. So many of us have been done in again. How many people grabbed Tommy Bell, who pumped out a massive ton in the JLT? I heard so many people talking about him, and it was only that last week and a half. Sure enough, Tommy Bell did Tommy Bell, and a massive 41 for him. Dylan Robinen, we've even been talking about this in our shows, and Dylan Robinen just went out and did his normal task, normal job, was the intercept marker and scored 103 in AFL Fantasy. And if it serves me correct, about 120 in Supercoach. I can't remember what it was. But how about the big one? Mason Cox. 62% of leagues drafted Mason Cox. And I love the little thing you put on Twitter with the little girl trying to catch and misses the ball, because that's what it's like. His confidence was shot. And obviously Collingwood have got a lot of work to do, mate.
It was pretty bad because the ball just kept hitting his hands, but it was like they were the bloody side of a house or something that just kept bouncing off him. Just quietly, Robin had only got 90 in Supercoach, so really? Shane Savage did outscore him in that format.
Right,
so.
There you go.
But, I mean, they're not going to play a team who used the ball as poorly as Brisbane every week. But.
No, that's very, very true. So the next one is late ruck pickups are Hansel. So hot right now. Jared Witts, the highest score ruck of the only game to be completed. And unless Cam Sinclair or Nat Nui actually go out there and pump 140-plus, which I just can't see happening, to be honest. Jared Witts, the highest scorer, ruck scorer for this week. You could get him in the mid-rounds between round 7 and round 12, depending on how deep your league is. And Aaron Sandilands, the third highest scorer in our ruck. Now, he did get a little bit of assistance, to be fair, because his opposition ruckman did do his Achilles. But he was an ADP of 177 and gave you a score of 111 week one. Now, 17th round, that's basically a second last player. So you're going through drafting 177, whammo's, giving you a ton. It still is this case. So let's have a look at the ruckman. Grundy, ADP of around 24, he pumped out an 80. Although I reckon he might be free of Cox next week.
That is going to be something I talk about.
Right, sorry, my apologies.
No,
my
it's
apologies.
Fine. That's fine.
Steph Martin did okay, but just gave you in the 90s. But the worry for Steph Martin, he didn't have any opposition because Billy Longer only scored 30. So it's not as if Billy was getting much of it. So he didn't score high. You've got your rider who got injured, and the only ruckman that was probably highly rated early on was Max Gawn, who did deliver for everyone. So anyone that got Max Gawn would have been very, very happy. So late ruck pickups, I'm starting to get to the point where you just sit back, you get a strong mid, take a high-level defender and forward, and you can always get something. The only reason I would go ruck early if I was having to have two ruckmen.
Well, if I was in a a 16-team plus league, or maybe even 14-team plus league, I'd probably consider drafting a ruckman in the middle rounds. Probably not one of the top ones, but we know not everyone plays a 10 or 12-team league.
No, that's exactly right. So my next one is first-year draftee rookies are just that. LDU gave you 27, Brayshaw gave you 45, Rayner gave you 35. So that is three of your top four draftees. The other one didn't even play. So the bottom line for first-year draftee rookies, they are just that. And you should leave them out of your redraft leagues. And they are let them prove themselves first and use them as a waiver wire pickup to fill a space or cover a bench or maybe be a loophole bench option. The reality is, they're for keeper leagues. They're not for redraft leagues. And I just look at even our redraft league. All those boys were picked up. And all those boys were picked up, between round 19 and 22. And you just think, hold on, we're missing players that are scoring tons. you know, every fourth and fifth week. And yes, there might be a bit of yo-yo, but these boys aren't going to score you tons this year.
No, certainly not. I mean, you could be grabbing a guy like a Ryan Lester who's going to be averaging you 82 over the year, and yeah.
Or a Cunningham who I just picked up on the waiver wire. I think he's got a good chance to be averaging an 80 as a forward this year, but you've got someone like an LDU who's probably going to finish averaging about 45 to 50 at best. It's amazing how we get sucked into the draftees, and that comes back to people drafting because they're thinking of salary cap.
Yeah, no, 100% agree with you. And I mean, these are just the teenagers.
Yeah,
the teenagers,
absolutely. And we should applaud them when they do well, because all those three actually did something nice on the weekend. But at the end of the day, they're not going to be high scorers for your draft leagues. And last but not least, for what I noticed this week, is you change a club, it can be a change of your career, unless you're Rocky. But let's talk about them. Watts, tunned up, looks sensational. Someone might have mentioned that before. Motlop even got some footy and looked like he had dash kicked a brilliant goal. Aaron Young, I know it was wet, but Aaron Young was really impressive, 112 he got. Ablett looked like he changes club and he's no longer injured, no longer got any hamstring problems. I don't know what that one was.
It's amazing, isn't it?
117, great. Now, this one had a 12-month delay, but Caddy, what's going on there?
Yeah, he just looked good, didn't he?
What?
Just passed the eyeball test.
Yep. I don't know what happened. That's a worry. Gibbs. It was even bigger than what he did at Carlton. Magnificent. And looked brilliant.
Yeah.
Lunch meat.
Yeah.
Hey, lunch meat.
Well, he sort of went out of it in the second half, though.
Yeah, that'll come. He's just nursing things. But a 91, damn good start. Hey, and what about my boy speaking about 91? Matera.
Yeah.
He looked good.
Hey, look. What's that line from White Man Can't Jump? The sun even shines in a dog's ass, Sunday.
But he looked really good. He was the link-up player. Was one of the go-to. A couple of failures in there. Obviously, Kennedy with injury. Crozier didn't work well for the Western Bulldogs. So that's...
Well, he's injured as well.
Oh, is he really? Okay.
Yeah, they say he's got a medial strain or something.
That's not good. Lever... And not only did Lever not do well for scoring, still played well. I mean, they did very well, Melbourne. But he affected Hibbert really badly.
Yeah, that's something I'll take a little victory lap on, Statesman. If you remember, very cold on Hibbert because of it. But, you know, that can change.
Absolutely. And it all depends whether... And you're right, you can't have... two or three playing that role where they're doing the intercept marks, because no one's accountable if you've got multiple people playing the role. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. And, of course, Rocky, although I'd probably give Rocky a few weeks. He didn't really have a pre-season, didn't get the game. So first game, I noticed they limited his actual game time. He only played 84 or 86 minutes, and a fair bit of that was up forward as well. So we'll see what happens with Rocky, but if you're smart, his value is going down.
Yeah, and some of the things I've learned, Statesman, the Port ruck situation is a big problem. I can't imagine they want to steal Dougal Howard. There's Hompsch, there's, you know, does it affect Westhoff? Does it affect Dixon? Does it affect Watts? Do they all pinch it? Because we saw... when Ryder was actually suspended that year, they didn't want to even use Lobie. They were quite content to use Trengove in the ruck and just lose the hitouts. It's quite an interesting situation. Do they use Frampton? They like one of the kids? I don't know. But it's a very interesting situation. And I'd just be a little bit, I don't know, should it affect them? It shouldn't affect them, surely. Like if they all just pinch hit a little bit, like the Western Bulldogs ruck situation. Look at that. Correct. They've got three ruckmen.
Yep. And they won a premiership without a ruckman.
Yeah. So that's an interesting one. Big question. Are Richmond's small forwards viable options for fantasy despite not getting disposals? Like, we had Butler and Graham both get 80 Dream Team and 100 Supercoach. Castagna got 79 Dream Team and 97 Supercoach. None of them had more than 15 disposals.
It's just amazing, isn't it? And can I say that the Graham was an odd one? I was looking at watching the game, looking at the scores at one point. Now, I can't remember when it was, but it must have been halfway through the second quarter or something like that. I looked down and he was second last or third last of their overall scoring, and I was giggling to myself, so many people are hot in this bloke. And then I looked down, it must have been halfway through the last quarter, and he was on 80-odd. I thought, where did that come from? I didn't even notice him.
Yeah, it's just all the tackles, and they bob up with a couple goals each, and it just gets them there. We talk about score build. I mean, if they're gonna lay seven tackles a week, that's 28 points.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's sustainable, but, I mean, they're doing it, so we'll see. Number three, I might have whiffed on Charlie Kurnow. I will expect more attention, and I don't think they're going to get 50-metre penalties coming out of their Kuiper, but, you know, he's not always going to kick five goals, but if he does this, say, three or four more times over the year, he's going to average pretty well, and he's going to win you some weeks. So,
yep.
And just you got to love watching him play, don't you?
Yeah, he's very good. Great mark.
Also learned, well, I didn't really learn this, it just reaffirmed it, that North are really bad for fantasy. 21 marks in a game of football, Statesman.
It was a shocking day.
I understand it's a shocking day. Gold Coast did manage 59, though. But if you can't... I mean, Gold Coast, we assume they're pretty ordinary as well. I mean, That's really bad. That's really bad. And the fact that no one got there through tons, like we had Nick Holman rack up 13 tackles, like what's going on, North? What's going on?
Yeah.
And the last point, if Mason Cox misses with suspension and Collingwood pull a win out, could he be out? And could it be a good time to buy on Brody Grundy?
Yeah,
I find
absolutely.
It hard to believe he stays out, but if you're a gambler, I don't know. Especially if they bring a couple of these quicker guys in, like a Wells and an Elliott or a Fasola or whoever.
Yeah, they've got to do it, don't they? I mean, I keep on asking the question. They've got so many defenders on that list. And I was impressed with Sam Murray, I must admit. It just got a bit of run and dash and probably uses it a fair bit better than most of the regulars they've had there for a while. But they've got so many defenders. I think Howell's got to be your man up forward. You need someone to take a grab. We saw what someone that can take a mark can do with Charlie Kurnow for Carlton. You can put five on the board. I just don't understand it because they haven't had a forward line and they went through this whole pre-season, the whole training period, the whole draft, and they went and got more midfielders. And I just, and another half-back flanker, although I'll say again, I like Murray. But they just seemed to get what they had a lot of and said, oh, Mason Cox will become a good forward. He's 27. He's American. He's going to have a few good games here and there. But the reality is he's not a person you're going to base your forward line around.
Well, and he doesn't offer any pressure either. That's what I can't wrap my head around. Like, once the ball hits the deck, that is it.
Yep.
So, I don't know. If he's not your number one ruck, I don't understand it. And just as a bonus point, Bucks out. Let's get that movement happening. Hashtag Bucks out.
Hashtag Bucks out. He's game one into 2-year contract.
I was actually regretting not saying it before the game. And now I just seem terrible. If I had got it going before the game, it would have been quite funny. But anyway, one of the more popular... Well, we write articles every week. And one I write, I really enjoy it, the Dozen Deals article. Each week I talk about 12... options for a buy, a sell, a hold, a pickup or a drop off the waiver wire. So, you know, people, we're always looking to make moves in our league, improve our teams. We thought we'd bring it into the show this year. And I just wanted to bring up patience is a key point. Patience. One thing I hate, Statesman, is especially after round one, someone has a bad week. Like my primo has a bad week. We saw Rocky have a bad week. We saw Zach Merritt get injured. We saw a number of Fife even and Zorko have bad weeks. One thing I hate is people start throwing low ball offers out straight after the gate. Round one. The draft's just happened. And you're just going to upset me. This is the thing. We know studs are going to fail. And guess what? A certain percentage of these guys are going to fail again next week. Might not be to the same level, but they won't deliver that value. I'm just saying, just people are so attached to the draft value they just spent on a Tom Rockliffe or a Dane Zorko. Just be mindful if you're going to try do a deal right now that you don't actually go upset the person. If you treat it with a little bit of patience and just grab whoever fails next week, whether it's the player you really want or not, you might just not upset your league mate and get better deals done down the line. So that's just one little thing I'll throw out there. But I would sell Matty Wright if possible. Only scored the mid-80s off the 5 goals. Now, to me, that's a big worry that if you're kicking 5 goals, you're not even scoring 90 points. He only had the dozen touches. The ball movement for Carlton was really quick, so they weren't over-possessing it. I think it's a real worry. Matty Wright, we know he's been pretty reliable. He's generally a good steak knives to throw in with a deal, so I'd look to ship him out. And just a quick little buy, Luke Dunstan missed out. I reckon throwing a low ball offer out for Luke Dunstan wouldn't be a bad move. He's certainly better than the pool, and I can't imagine they're going to be happy just getting over the line against Brisbane.
Now, I will say here that the discussion point you just had before in someone throwing you a poor offer for someone that maybe just had one bad week. So your example here is Zorko scored you a massive 57 this week in the Listener League Keeper. So if I turned around and offered you a Luke Dunstan who didn't play but averaged 110 on the way home last year for your Dane Zorko, that's the exact thing that you were talking about. It is so low ball for someone that is a fringe 22 player in Luke Dunstan and against someone that can average 115.
Absolutely. Yep. That's absolutely the prime example.
I've just sent it to you.
Okay, thanks, mate. I look forward to checking that out.
Just to annoy you.
Well, hopefully I've hit my pending trade offer that's gone out to someone this week. Throwing a nice little offer out. You would have liked a ruckman, wouldn't you?
Yes.
How did your captains fare on the weekend, Statesman? It's time for Statesman's captains.
Yes, like everything, if you go the risky ones, you have your hits and misses. Sicily, Blake Akers did quite well, but there were some duds along the way. But I think on the first night, I had a couple of good ones. So that was good, although I will say the one I mentioned on our last pod, I think I went Sean Grigg, and he got a massive 59. So, but that was a loophole, risky option, but that one didn't work out. So I'm going to pick up two that'll be part of the article this week. Now, first off, anyone playing Collingwood right now, after Tom Mitchell's 54 disposals, you want to be looking for your Bagnet, who's not going to get under any pressure. But let's face facts, it's Collingwood. They're probably not going to put anyone under any pressure. So Stephen isn't that shocking? How do you pronounce his name? Cogs.
Canelio.
Cogs.
We actually used to just call him Stevie Congo.
Stevie Congo. Well, he scored 146 against the Western Bulldogs, and I reckon they're going to put more body pressure on than the Collingwood Football Club. Fully fit, obviously, after a great pre-season. Kelly and Shill will get any tags if they come, but let's face facts, it is Collingwood. They're not going to put him under any pressure. He is just going to rack the pill up yet again. The good thing is he actually rested forward on the weekend, which means he gets the opportunity to do a bit of front and centre, a bit of crumbing work, and actually put some pressure on the scoreboard as well. So Cogs, the boy, is going to keep scoring. He's going to have a mighty fine season. And now, even though I felt good about him previously, I'm actually a little bit annoyed that I didn't read the writing on the wall and actually have him in a few other formats. The next one is, and this is going for opposition targets. I'm going for a player that's playing against North Melbourne. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. I think North are going to struggle a little bit until they find their pace, but also playing such a hard slog, but not only a hard slog, a hard slog in Cairns. Now, Cairns is the biggest trip you can do from Melbourne. So it's actually bigger than WA. That's a huge trip. So when you're talking that, there's one thing they've always said is you actually hurt a bit after coming back from Perth. Well, when you've got a bigger trip than that, you're going to hurt as well. Not only they're going to hurt from being tired because of the trip, but they also played in shocking conditions. And you're talking, that was a lot of pounding of the bodies that actually happened. So Jack Billings is the man, and I reckon once they get a little bit tired in that last quarter, the man that can play midfield forward that actually put it on the scoreboard as well as link up, he just played a blinder on the weekend, and I can't see who on the half back line for the Kangaroos is going to stop this boy. He looked sensational, and he's going to the next level. I'm tipping right now that him and Heaney are easily the number one and two forwards right now, in saying that Franklin's flogging Heaney, but I reckon the two of them will just keep racking them up throughout the whole year. So North hurting from the trip, North hurting from the conditions, and Jack Billings in magnificent form. I reckon he's a wonderful option for your captain.
Not bad coming off the, what was it, 130 scored on the
One
weekend?
123.
Oh, it must have been 130 in the SC format, which you wouldn't know about. So those are your captains for round two coming up. Just for everyone, we are recording whilst the West Coast and Sydney game's on at the moment. So it's 1 point the difference. We got no idea what's going to happen at the end. I think that was good. No, Jono, we got through it pretty quickly.
Absolutely, but one thing we didn't do, and we should do, is actually our waiver wire option.
Didn't we do them? Oh, I missed them.
Wait, waiver pickups. So if you want to introduce us waiver pickups, you can cut it in.
Yeah, that's a good idea. No, I'll leave it in for the professionalism. People like that. All right, so we'll go through our waiver pickups for round two. That's why we get this stupid thing out Monday morning, so you ride to work, so you know who to pick up in your draft leagues. Just if you haven't listened before, we know we've got a lot of new listeners. I don't know why you're still with us, but you are. And we use the ultimate. We use on Ultimate Footy, we use an ownership rule of 65%. So you can all scoop up these players. If you're in a smaller league, say an A-team league, or you're in a 3-4-1-3 format, there will probably be better options available on your waiver wire. But this is just the format we use, so we know everyone has an opportunity to get them. Going through the top six, Statesman. Number one, I've got Darcy Byrne Jones,
Oh yeah,
defender.
he good. He good.
Oh, only owned in 62% of teams. Scored you the mid-80s on the weekend. How's the 15 contested and 10 clearances, if you don't mind?
Pretty
So with
impressive.
everyone talking about Riley Bonner, who's 80% owned, just if you're in one of those small leagues, you might be able to scoop him up still. Darcy Byrne-Jones is a great pickup with Pittard and Broadbent still out. Number two, I've got Aaron Young. As you spoke about earlier, listed as a forward, 35% owned, scored you the 112 with the 26 disposals and 9 tackles. But Statesman, the one thing I did notice about Aaron Young that he's never had before, 81% game time.
Incredible, isn't it?
This is a mid-60s game time player when he was at Port Adelaide. So I love that big bump. We know he's been usable for fantasy before, but just with the increased game time, I really like
And he
that.
always had a great tank. So
Did
it's
he? I
not
thought
as
that
if
was
he
the
didn't have.
question.
No, it was never the problem that he didn't have the fitness. It was just sharing the roles.
Yeah, he always had that pocket forward pocket role. Anyway, Aaron Young, bit of an option there. Darcy Moore coming at number three, 36% game time, but he looked great across half back. Just destroyed Tommy Langdon scoring. So he got to the mid-80s in both formats. List as a forward. Playing GWS this week, expect the ball to be flying down that end fair bit, but I don't think they'll have it as easy as they did against the Bulldogs. I think Collingwood didn't defend too bad. Number three, Oh, sorry, number four, Matt Tavener. I can't believe I'm saying this. Forward 52% own. But he scored you the 90 Dream Team in a 50-point loss. That's a lot of marks. So I think we've got to take a little bit of notice. Maybe slot him on your bench. He's an option. Number five, I've got Jared Berry, midfielder from Brisbane. 36% own. He's in the middle. Scored you the ton in both formats. Don't expect three goals every week. But if you're in the midfield, this can happen. And just my last pick, Tim English, ruck forward, only 23% own. Scored you 78 Dream Team, 83 Super Coach. The three-way ruck roll needs to die for the Bulldogs, but those are pretty good scores in a 12-goal loss. Sorry, and just if you're in one of the shallower leagues, Riley Bonner and Tim Taranto also.
So go through your six again.
Darcy Byrne-Jones, Aaron Young, Darcy Moore, two Darcys. Jesus, that can't be good. Matt Tavener, Jared Berry, and Tim English.
Okay, so we went very, very similar, but I do have two to add on at the tail end of that. First one is Nick Holman, only owned by 23%. The Gold Coast tackling machine, unsure of job security for the long term, but will cover for your injuries in the short term. Is certainly covered and covered well for me, the injury of Aaron Young in one of my leagues. So Nick Holman, very low ownership. And that's what he's going to do. He's going to give you a score between 70 and 90, and he's going to do that week in, week out while he continues his job. Nick Robertson is my last one, Brisbane defender owned by 23%. Will play defensive midfield roles. Took on Jack Stephen, who went and scored very nicely for you after the people copped a bag and for you drafting him in round three or four.
It was round five.
It's round five. There you go. I would have said there's still good value at round three or four. We'll play defensive roles. Sorry, mate. And we'll average in the mid-70s for you, so it can help out in your defence. So being a defender but actually playing in midfield roles, unless you're Salem, can be quite rewarding. So take the option up on him. So Nick Robertson. Again, I don't think he's the type of player that you can guarantee will play 22 games. But while the coach is happy and he's doing roles and doing them well and got a fair bit of the pill himself this week, I think you can tick him in the box and say, yes, we'll get something out of it.
Yeah, I was looking at both those guys. I can't rely on Holman laying the 13 tackles every week. Like, they're not going to play in those conditions. But, I mean, he's a good option. Robertson, yeah, with the defensive. I mean, I guess it's what you said. Is he best 22? Is he going to get whatever sort of role? That can certainly flip on a dime, but obviously play pretty well. And with the defensive status, why the heck not?
Absolutely.
So, John, we wish you all the best over in, where the hell are you? Durban or Cape Town or wherever you're going to be batting for the Aussies. I certainly think you can dig in and make a quick fire 20. And I hope you enjoy your travels. But thanks for everyone for listening, and hope you got through your Monday okay, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.